This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Rebecca Thiel speaks with a Michigan State University entomologist who explains why a hot, dry summer can increase the risk of West Nile virus. But first, three Republicans are seeking their party's nomination for State House in the 66th District. That seat includes Van Buren and Northwest Kalamazoo County. It's open this year because Eric Nesbitt cannot run again due to term limits. Greg Kolich is seeking the Republican nomination for State House. Greg Kolich, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Gordon.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in Pennsylvania. I've been in Michigan since 1956. Lincoln Park Public Schools. Started at Western in, I think, 1975 and got sidetracked, and I took in classes and classes and classes, and I finally told my advisor, well, just mail me a diploma. And was a Bachelor of Science degree in the teaching industrial education, vocational industrial education, which I decided I didn't want to do it for a living anyway. Enlisted in the National Guard in 1981 and retired just over 20 years later. And been with my current employer for the last 30 years. And I'll probably stay there for a few more.
And what kind of work do you do now?
I'm a machinist. I get to make things. You know, they give me a big playground to run around in and all kinds of neat tools. I can make things and just enjoy myself all day. So it's hardly like work.
What would you like to do if you are elected to the State House?
I have three priorities that I've not heard anybody else talk about. 100% pro-life. And we have to take that as to mean that the life begins right the moment of conception, and killing it just capriciously after that obviously is murder. Michigan's right to life recognizes protecting the life of the mother, but basically nothing else. And I guess it doesn't make any more sense to kill that little kid after so many weeks or so many months or how about 3 years or 14 years. If we start the life at conception and take care of it, protect it, That covers it lifelong. The next thing is being 100% pro-family. All of our government everywhere, local, state, federal, counties, and everywhere you look, has various programs in place that discourage families from forming, mainly in the form of welfare checks. We have similar programs that discourage families from staying together. They encourage them to break up because of welfare checks. Our government encourages lazy, useless people to be lazy, useless people. I think we need to cut that out. And instead of subsidizing people with welfare checks, we could eliminate the income taxes. It's not worth the state's trouble to go to collect income taxes on small amounts, small payrolls, small paydays. For someone who wants to form a family and wants to get together and wants to take care of themselves and be self-sufficient, it's not in the government's best interest to hit them with an income tax. If we didn't charge people income tax, say, on the first $25,000 that they made, I think that would give more people an incentive to go to work and take care of their own families and do things for themselves. And we have examples over there on Lake Street. You know, they're greatly expanding their welfare office over there, Family Children Services, more and more expense to the taxpayer. The taxpayers are subsidizing kids adopted through the foster method. The taxpayers are paying for them. You know, we have the government subsidizing the wrong things.
Okay, 100% pro-life, 100% pro-family. You said there's a third one?
Yep, 100% pro-gun, and that has to do with Michigan's Castle Doctrine. We need to let people know loud and clear that, you know, it's completely acceptable for people to defend themselves.
Are there people who aren't defending themselves right now?
I think there are some people that would hesitate to, and some other people that would argue that, no, you can't defend yourself. You let that thug, that burglar, that whatever run right over you. That's okay. We can't touch that person. There are lots of those people around that don't recognize self-defense. Michigan's Castle Doctrine does. It gives people the opportunity under the law, if they choose to fight back.
Okay, so the law is already there right now.
It's already there, but okay. A lot of people don't understand it, and they don't recognize it, and they would even argue, hey, that's not good. Shooting burglars is not good.
Okay, but I guess I'm wondering, as a state lawmaker, what are you going to do? I mean, if it's already in law, you say there's people who don't know about it. I mean, the people who don't argue, I mean, or who argue against it, let's say, I mean, if they don't wish to defend their own castle, isn't mm-hmm. that their choice?
Yeah, that's their choice. But we have people, we have law enforcement people, we have social worker people, other do-gooder people that don't recognize that right.
Well, what are they doing? I mean, I guess I'm trying to see what is the thing that's actually happening.
You can look back, say, in Kalamazoo County, Van Buren County. It's not too difficult to ask, and they'll tell you. People that have defended themselves, which every now and then results in a fatality. Those people are investigated. Sometimes a crime is assumed. Sometimes a homeowner is presumed guilty and has to prove innocence, despite our castle doctrine. That needs to be made much more clear, and people's right to self-defense needs to be absolutely unquestioned.
Let me talk about some other issues for a moment. Educators in the public system right now are saying that they may sue the state over a provision in the education budget signed by Governor Snyder, which does allow for reimbursing private schools for some expenses. How much of a wall do you think there should be between public funding and private education?
I think all education is education should all be funded equally.
So private parochial schools should get
absolutely.
The same thing.
So absolutely.
Would you want to change the Michigan Constitution, which right now says otherwise?
You betcha. Right now, we're suffering under a Michigan Constitution that presumes that the state knows better than everybody else, and the state's going to tell everybody what to do. I don't believe that for a second.
But you want to still put state money into those schools?
Oh, absolutely. If a church wants to run a school, that's their choice. Let them do it. If a private organization, if an employer wants to run a school, let them do it. A school is a school. The state should not have a monopoly on that.
Do you want to put more money into education, or do you just want to divvy the pie up?
No, I would never increase the money that's in education. It's being way overfunded now. I would divvy that money up.
Way overfunded?
Way overfunded.
Why do you think that?
Well, everywhere you go, you drive across Michigan, there are hundreds of separate school districts with separate administration buildings, separate superintendents, separate contacts, separate busing, separate food, separate everything. That's just not necessary.
So you would favor consolidation of school districts,
right.
then?
I see things that could be privatized. Things like busing could be privatized, transportation is transportation, all kinds of food service could be privatized, grounds maintenance could be privatized. I can't see having a separate school superintendent every 50 miles you drive down the road. That's just nonsensical.
As a state lawmaker, what would you actually propose? Would you propose carrots out there to try to encourage consolidation, or would you propose just simply deciding that some school districts are going to be put out of business?
I wouldn't worry about putting school districts out of business, but if the student funding per head was available to anybody that wanted to run, say, a middle school, supply and demand would work that out.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Greg Kolich. He is a candidate for the Republican nomination in the 66th State House District. That includes Van Buren County as well as Northwest Kalamazoo County. Do you think that state lawmakers need to be looking to put more money into roads than what they approved late last year?
I think the voters said absolutely no, and they meant it. The state has money already to spend for roads. They're already collecting taxes for roads. They need to use it. They don't need more. They need to use what they have.
Did the voters say no completely to more revenue, or did they just say no to one idea which was very complex and involved moving a lot of money around and was hard to understand?
The question before the taxpayers included a whole lot more than money for roads, which I think was inappropriate. There was a yes or no on a lot of things, and the roads were part of it. Even if the road money was broken out as a separate item, my own vote would still be no, because the state already collects money every single day for roads. They don't need more.
They don't need more. I mean, because there are other states which, you know, state officials will point to and say they actually put a lot more money into roads per capita than we do.
Well, that's fine. What I've looked at bridges, I've looked at roads, I've looked at support columns literally falling apart a year after they were built. That's incomprehensible. They can do a better job for no more money or less money.
What about water infrastructure? We had the problem in Flint with lead ending up in the water. Mm-hmm. There's lead pipes that run mm-hmm. not just in Flint, but in a lot of other older cities. Mm-hmm. Do you think the state should be making that a priority?
Nope, not at all. Flint caused its own problem. Their own local officials caused it years before it made the news. Years before. It was not a sudden thing. Flint's own local officials screwed that up thoroughly.
You don't think the state had any role in that?
Nope, none. The EPA, the DEQ may have displayed some incompetence there. I think the governor was too quick to say anything that he didn't know anything about. But Flint's own local officials caused their own local problem years before it hit the news.
Not the emergency manager who ordered the water switch.
The Flint's, if, according to the reports I heard in the paper, Flint's own local officials were not running their water system competently long before the emergency manager came along.
But the emergency manager was the one who said, take us off the Detroit water system and switch us to the Flint River.
I read that in the paper.
Okay, you don't think that puts some responsibility at the doorstep of the emergency manager?
He may have made a bad decision, but Flint's own local people, the people that were directly in charge of running their water system, made lousy decisions long before that emergency manager came along.
Such as?
Maintenance. You can't run a water system into the ground. You can't run it till it crumbles. It needs continuous maintenance. Then they didn't do that.
You mentioned earlier that you are 100% pro-gun.
Yes.
Would you put any sort of regulations on things like open carry? Do you think people should be able to have guns out in the open wherever they wish?
It doesn't bother me any. What bothers me is the government saying, we know more than you do, and we're going to make a lot of rules. I mistrust the government far more than I mistrust my neighbor. Bank robbers are going to be bank robbers. Burglars are going to be burglars. No law is going to change that.
Do you think it is reasonable to put restrictions on, say, schools, certain, you know, zones, courthouses? We just, as we speak on Monday, by the way, I should let our listeners know, we're speaking on Monday. There's been a shooting outside the Berrien County Courthouse, so we don't know very much as we talk. But, you know, should places like that be an area where someone can openly carry a gun?
Oh, absolutely. Every big shooting that's made the news has been in a so-called no-gun zone. Wonder why?
Well, actually, the one in Oregon was not a gun-free zone. It was a community college, which is an open carry campus, and there were people who had guns, and they chose not to get them out.
That's their choice.
Right, because they were afraid that if they got them out and the police came upon the scene, they'd have their guns out.
That has happened.
That's just part of the... part of what happens.
That has happened to people. That literally has happened to people. When the police arrive on the scene, they don't know who is who. But for the government to start restricting things like that, to say, well, we got to reduce the number of murders, I'll believe that they're serious about it when they get the drunk drivers off the road, when they get the drug addicts out of burglaring, breaking into houses, when we have secretaries of state and when we have candidates for the president that are breaking laws all over the place, I'll believe they're serious about when they start attacking those things.
So I've been asking other Republicans this question. I will ask you, and I'm guessing that if you're out talking to people, you're probably getting some questions about a gentleman named Donald Trump.
Yep.
Do you think he can make a good president if he's elected?
I don't know. He's a big question mark. I don't know what Cruz would do. I look at what Bernie has said as with just, I'm incredulous. Where'd he come up with this? I wrote Bernie off as being crazy, Clinton off as being criminal. Trump has a big question mark. I have no idea what he'll do. I don't think that he has much respect for the Constitution or the rule of law. Some people are making noise to get Ted Cruz in there.
It's a little late, isn't it?
But I think it's a little bit late. People are going to have a choice, I think, to vote for a big question mark Trump or, I think, a true loser, lifelong loser, Hillary.
Did you vote in the Republican presidential primary?
Last year?
No, the presidential primary in March.
The primary, yes. I voted for Trump.
You voted for Trump in the primary?
I thought Trump was more electable than Cruz.
Greg Kolich, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you.
Greg Kolich is one of three Republicans who is seeking his party's nomination in the 66th State House District. That includes Van Buren and Northwest Kalamazoo County. Interviews with the other two candidates for the Republican nomination in the 66th State House District can be found at WMUK.org.